broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
A new NBC News poll shows that most Americans are skeptical of the current attempts to reform health care.
Anything that doesn't provide choice and competition in a private insurance market.
It needs reform. Costs have escalated. So
our hearts should go out to Caster Semenya that she even has to deal with this. But what
Holy
did it
crap.
Dumb bitch.
Things are bad.
Well, I think it's time to get better.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this program. That's right, truth is our bitch. We didn't say...
Dumb bitch.
We said the truth, man, and that's what we try to bring to you each and every night here from 1 until 4 on the East Coast and 10 to 1 out here at the El Pacifico, and that is the story. Now, what's the real story? And if you think you've got a conservative point of view here or a liberal point of view, think again, man. You got an all-American point of view here, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. American point of view. By the way, I got that information for you.
Oh, I asked Bud to find out for me who the Senate minority, who the Senate majority whip was. You know, Harry Reid is the Senate majority leader, and they have somebody called a Senate. They have a Senate whip, and that is the person that goes out and does the bidding of the Senate majority leader and gets the votes together. And
well, no, that's not the whip. It's Barbara Boxer is the Senate ball gag.
And you give me that. What do you mean the Senate ball gag?
Well, you said. I know about whip.
Yeah, he thought you meant ball gag. When did I say Senate ball gag? I said Senate whip.
Well, I thought if you're talking about Barbara Boxer, that I'd be the Senate ball gag, you know, by default.
Dude, just don't do the thinking for me. Just do what I want you to do, okay? When I ask for what the Senate whip is, who it is, what it is, where it is, who she am is, tell me, where do you see Senate ball gag?
I thought that's what you said.
How do you get ball gag out of whip?
Well,
I mean, it's all in the same magazine that said the same thing, you know.
What do you mean the same mag? Guys, this is not... Just put away your dominatrix material and get off those websites and start thinking a little more clearly about these things. Anyway, it's Barbara Boxer. Thank you very much. Senate ball gag. It's, you know, the shoe fits. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the program here. Every night we are not only on the air on great affiliates across this country, we are also on our website at philhendryshow.com streaming video of the show. You can watch us as well as listen to us, and that may be a double whammy. That may be a headache and a stomach ache. I don't know. And you can also download the show tomorrow at our website and listen to it whenever the hell you feel like listening to it. Ain't nobody going to tell you how to live your life. Damn sure not me. White House may push through health care without Republicans. That's on the agenda for this next segment. Let me just tell you that coming up, we've got this athletic organization asking a South African runner to submit a gender verification test. I may be real stupid, and I admit I haven't looked into this enough, but all you got to do is tell them to take their pants off is what I don't know. 60 Democrats, by the way, we're trying to figure out how many Democrats are there in the Senate. 60 Democrats, two of which are independent but caucus with Democrats. What does that mean? 40 Republicans. So they haven't got any filler. They're no closer to a filibuster-proof 60 than they were when Bush was president. The hell are they talking about? And here's why I'm bringing this up. The Obama administration's looking hard at pushing through a health care reform bill without Republican backing. Top Democrats close to the White House have been telling CNN this. And by the way, in this story is a segment that we call Here's the Story and Then Here's What's Really Happening, because God knows you ain't going to get that kind of perspective, especially from news sites and websites that are looking to just inflate and to conflate and to manipulate the news so you'll watch or read them. They don't give a crap about whether it's true or not. So we always got to be telling you, man, we got to throw these red flags up for you. I'm telling you, you know it as well as I do. The Democratic majority in the Senate has been stymied in the health care debate by Republicans and conservative Democrats, otherwise known as Blue Dog Democrats. Why they call them that, I don't know, but it doesn't sound very flattering. Leaving it short of the 60-vote filibuster-proof margin needed to pass the bill. And what does that mean? It means that the Republicans can filibuster. What is a filibuster? It's just talking and talking and talking and talking and debating and debating and debating and debating and debating and debating. And it never ends, right? Until the opposition says, all right, fine, we'll table it. Jeez, anything to get out of here. Because if there's one thing we know about our elected representatives, as well as everybody else on the planet Earth, we got some hard work to do. But if that's going to cut into my TV viewing time, man, forget it. If that's going to cut into Dancing with the Stars, you can take it and park it. Anyway, Democratic success could depend on the... Well, let me just tell you this. There's an obscure rule called reconciliation. And Democratic success, because they don't have the 60 filibuster-proof votes that they need, because there's a couple of cats that are sitting on the fence, one of them Bernie Sanders, the other Joe Lieberman. They both caucus with Democrats, but they are independents. So they don't have this filibuster-proof 60. And I don't know where in the hell we ever got the idea that they did, even though they picked up Alan Spector. And, you know, what the hell are they talking about? Anyway, Democratic success could depend on an obscure tactic called reconciliation. This is a type of, and I'm quoting here from the article, a type of budget maneuver that requires only a simple majority, 51, to pass the bill. Congressional Democrats authorized the maneuver specifically for health care reform legislation during the debate over the 2010 budget, which passed in April. So during this debate, congressional Democrats were able to get through this maneuver called reconciliation, where you only need 51 votes to pass a bill, or maybe a specific kind of bill, and they got this going during the debate over the 2010 budget back in April. One top Senate Republican warned at the time that using reconciliation to pass such a measure would be, quote, a declaration of war. And you can well imagine what that means. It means that, okay, any other legislation that you guys figure we would play ball with you on, any other time that you guys would want our help on anything that we might see our way clear to supporting, forget it. It's over. It ain't going to happen. So many of us think that we elect a guy, and then he goes to the Senate or he goes to the Congress, and he does what we ask him to do. Or, if we're not quite sure what it is he should do, he does what he thinks is best for his state and his district. That's what we think happens, see? And there's a lot of people who would say, well, if it doesn't happen that way, it should, Phil. But the fact is, folks, it ain't happened that way since the very beginning of this country. Because as we've so often said to you, a guy gets elected senator, like this guy Franken. And he goes to the Senate, and everybody's just, hey, Al Frez is great. Isn't that wonderful that you're here? And let me just talk to you privately for a minute, Al. Okay, now, you were on TV, and you're a funny man, and isn't that nice for you? You don't make a move without us. And this is the Democratic leadership talking to him. See? I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. This is what happened. You're a real funny guy, and, you know, that's great for you. You're not making any moves. You don't get on any committee. You don't get moved up to any important committees. We'll put you on the horse dung committee right now, and you figure out how much horse dung is needed to fertilize all those fields up in Minnesota. There, that's a good job for you, okay? You see what I'm saying, Al? Yes, sir. Okay, great. And when you do that good, then maybe we move you up to the finance committee or something like that. You don't introduce any bills. You don't write any legislation unless we tell you you do. And you vote with how we want you to vote. You understand? Well, I think that I'm Al Franken. Yeah, that's great. You're Al Franken. Good for you, okay? And I'm Garrett Morris, without the tan. How about that? And you're going to do... That's how it works. That's how it works. And in the House of Representatives, it's even more hardball and freewheeling because there's so many members. They got to control all these guys. And you got some guy that's in there for 2 years and he really wants to make a mark. And these guys are trying to organize everything. They're cutting each other's throats and stabbing each other in the back of their... Hey, you kid... From whatever the hell district you're from. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Montana, and isn't that May? Give the kid a round. He's from Montana. Now, here's what you're going to do. You a Republican? Yeah, all right. Well, we're going to do this bit where we're going to block this bitch Pelosi because she's been bugging us since day one. You understand? Well, I think she's kind of a nice lady. Do you want to have anything to do for the next 2 years while you're here, or do you want to just sit on your ass and then go back to your district and have people look at you and say, what did you do? Nothing, and vote you out within 2 years. Is that what you want to have happen? No, sir. All right. Then this is the way it's going to get played. You want anybody going back there and campaigning for you? You want us to open up any money for you? You want any of that stuff? You play the game the way it gets played. That's how it happens. All right. So what do you got in Washington? The Senate now is saying, the Senate Republicans are saying, if they try to pull out this reconciliation maneuver to get this health care bill passed with 51 votes instead of the 2/3 majority, it's going to be a declaration of war. We're going to go at you guys, note and tong, which are two devices you use to deal with ICE, is my understanding. I'm not sure. Going it alone could be risky for Democrats, not because they couldn't raise the votes, but because Republicans could cast it as a power play and accuse them of failing to win bipartisan support. A Quinnipiac University survey released 2 weeks ago showed that 59% of registered voters nationwide opposed passage of health care legislation if the bill fails to win bipartisan support. I don't know that any of these polls are worthwhile, folks, when you've got an electorate that is very badly educated on what the hell the bill contains. What do your polls mean? When the American people have said, we want health care reform, but we're not quite sure what's in this package, and we think it covers immigrants, and we think maybe it's going to be a single payer, and we don't know what the hell it is you're asking us. What are you asking my opinion for? I don't even know what the hell is in the bill. All right, now, here is where it could bite the Republicans on the ass, but they're taking a gamble, and it's a calculated risk, and it's probably one that they'll look good taking, because by sitting on the sidelines and letting the Democrats pass this, the Republicans are saying it's going to be their mess, it's going to be in their lap, it's going to look like about 100 pounds of nothing, man. When they're done with it, it's going to be a cluster you-know-what, and they're going to be the guys holding the bag on this thing. And we come out the heroes by saying, we opposed it. We tried to help the American people. Look at this health care reform. It ain't working. It ain't where it's at. The downside, of course, is if the health care reform bill is passed and they're able to implement the national plan along with the insurance exchange, along with people keeping their insurance, and this thing actually moves forward in a quasi-swimming fashion, the Republicans look like basically what they are right now, a bunch of guys sitting on a log with their thumbs parked. And by the time the elections come around, whether it's 2010 or 2012, people are going to be looking at them and saying, what do you guys do for a living exactly other than sit there and be a professional pain in the ass, with seniority pain in the ass? What do you guys do for a living over there in the Republican neck of the woods? Well, we oppose this. You're opposing something that it's turning out is actually returning money to the pockets of the American people. There's a little more income out there, a little more money to perhaps get into the private sector. More importantly, bigger tax base. We might even pay for this thing sooner than we thought, and you guys opposed it. Good luck. All right, 877. But like I said, it's a calculated risk that, frankly, the way things are looking right now, they may be smart taking the risk. 877-876-PHIL. We actually have Robert Gibbs taking some questions on this particular package. And Michelle Bachmann, who is saying health care reform is unconstitutional. Man, I don't know where she gets her hair done, but there's something leaking out of whatever it is they got. I think it's getting into her brain. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll take some phone calls. I just wanted to give you a taste of the debate today around the health care debate. And here is Robert Gibbs, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs. Now, we were telling you that the Democrats want to push this thing through without the Republicans. They're going to go with something called, they may go with something called reconciliation. They call this a budget maneuver that requires a simple majority. And they got this reconciliation plan through while they were debating the budget, in the 2010 budget. The thinking being, look, come on, this is important. I mean, the country is in dire need of a budget. We're coming off of a very traumatic season in which we saw unprecedented dollars poured into the private sector, from auto industry loans to the TARP. We really got to get a budget. And can't we just do this with 51 votes? And the Republicans said, yeah, sure, okay. Well, guess what? It may come back to bite the Republicans a little bit on the ass, but the Republicans are betting it's really going to bite the Democrats on the ass because they say it's going to be total war. If you guys try to use budget reconciliation, which was something that was passed so that we could get the budget passed, to get a health care bill through, now you're talking, you're on the fighting side of me, as the song goes. Here is Press Secretary Robert Gibbs taking questions this morning on whether or not the president has lost the debate on health care.
There are others inside and outside your base who think you've lost control of the argument and who wonder whether the president has the political muscle to see this through.
Stay tuned.
How do you respond to the suggestion that you've lost control of the argument?
The argument's not over. The discussion's not over. The debate's not over. The legislative process isn't over.
Well, I didn't expect to have this back and forth within the party about the public option.
I contrived almost entirely by you guys.
And Bill Plant then said,
"Things are bad."
And then we have Michelle Bachmann. She is the representative from Minnesota. You've seen her on television. She's been trotted out by the heavyweights in the Republican Party. They think she's an attractive candidate. And when I say attractive, it doesn't mean that she knows anything. They think she's actually attractive. And anyway, she says that the health care reform plan is unconstitutional.
A lot of members of Congress may have forgotten what their Constitution says, but again, it is not within our power as members of Congress. It's not within the enumerated powers of the Constitution for us to design and create a national takeover of health care, nor is it within our ability to be able to delegate that responsibility to the executive. We need to listen to our constituents, and they're telling us from Alaska to Hawaii to Florida to Maine to Minnesota to Texas, do not have the federal government take over health care, and members of Congress will vote against their constituents at their peril.
Michelle Bachmann's interesting. She doesn't have to defend that unconstitutional remark because most of the people interviewing her wouldn't know the questions to ask. But I would simply ask her, what part of the Constitution are you referring to? How do you then explain Social Security? And exactly what planet are you coming from? Hannity was interviewing her. That's why nobody was going to ask her. Sean, you're a good guy, but you might want to try a few tough questions, even if you got to fake it, even if you got to wing it, even if you need to call me to find out what the tough questions are. How about that? Now, here is Maxine Waters, and here is another one of those stories within a story. Maxine Waters is not the best person to trot out and sell a health care reform bill. Maxine Waters is highly controversial. She's considered to be an old-line liberal. She turns off conservatives and independents. She pisses off a lot of people. They don't want to know from Maxine Waters, okay? But here she is weighing in, and I can guarantee you this much, anybody in the Democratic Party listening to me, this is not somebody that you want selling the national health care plan.
The insurance companies got a head start, and they got a jump on us.
All right, that's enough of that. Now, here it is.
The insurance companies got a head start.
Things are bad.
They got a jump on us. They went up with their ads. They did a great job of convincing many people that somehow the government was going to take over. It was going to be too expensive. It was not the thing to do. And so they got a jump. They got a head start. But now we began to fight back. And you will see those polls change because people don't know absolutely what a government option is, what that means. We've got to define it. We've got to keep talking about it. We've got to help the American people to understand that the insurance companies have basically taken advantage of the American people.
Well, that's a good point, and she's right, but you might as well have
Johnny Diablo
trying to explain it. Now we have Senator Bernie Sanders. He's an independent, and he caucuses with the Democrats, but he sounds like some kind of a right-winger to me. No, I'm kidding, but he did say, if we don't fix health care in the country, our economy will deteriorate.
We have a health care system which is disintegrating. It's not just 46 million without any health insurance. If we do nothing, the cost of health insurance for people who have insurance now or don't is going to double within 8 years, which is economically disastrous for this country. In fact, is unsustainable.
All right, so that's Bernie Sanders. What did I say? He sounds like a right-winger. No, he sounds like he should be a Democrat. Anyway, on MSNBC, Ed Schultz questions Obama staffer Linda Douglas. Linda Douglas is basically the PR person for the Obama administration over the claim that the Democrats are united on the Obama health care plan.
I mean, the Democrats are absolutely united on these principles.
They're not.
There's agreement.
Wait a minute. No, they're not.
They're not united.
No, they're
you
not.
You have a major division here in the Democratic Party. The righties aren't causing this. The Democrats, and they're breaking off into different factions here. They're causing this problem. And the president can't seem to get all of his people on the same page after getting a mandate and winning 9 Bush states. And you've got the liberal left in this country that is seriously considering dumping support for Obama.
Now, let me tell you why, Ed, because you're not bright enough to figure it out, and we've been talking about it on this show since the very beginning. The reason is because the people that supported Obama weren't listening to what he was saying. They thought they had themselves a happy fizzies party, man. That's what they thought was going on. They thought it was just one big fat dork stock. You understand? Do you understand you got a president who is not right down the line liberal enough for a lot of the people that loved him going in? Now, I know there's people who've been making the argument, well, they voted for him because he's black. They wanted a historic event in this country. They wanted a black guy in there. I think there were enough people like me who voted for him because they heard what he was saying to push him over the top, but you better get some of these other nitwits on board. They're idiots, Ed. Phil Hendry Show, back with this Whole Foods imbroglio.
Phil Hendry.
And another thing.
Things are bad.
But even more so.
Johnny Diablo.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-PHIL here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we've got Whole Foods customers lashing out at John Mackey because he is against the Obama health care plan. Whole Foods, the place where you can go and get your whole grains and vegetables, you know, all that that pure food, good food. It's good. I go there. I wouldn't call myself necessarily a hippy-dippy, you know. I mean, I went through rehab. Everything's good with me, but apparently, this one guy's got an internet video on YouTube, and he's doing the whole anonymous thing. In other words, he's got his voice sounding like, you know, you shouldn't. Some jazz. He doesn't want to be identified because he's afraid John Mackey is going to send his Scientology buddies to gut this guy like a fish, hang him upside down, take a picture of it, and then have him mounted on his office wall. 877-876-PHIL. One more thing about Maxine Waters. She did say that they need to educate. She's right. But she also said that the insurance companies were the ones that were holding up and lobbying heavily against this national health care plan. The information that we have is that there is a rather large consortium of health care insurance companies, health insurance companies, who are in support, who are on board. And we're going to have those names for you. And then I'd like to know where people are coming from when they say it's going to drive the private health insurers out of business when you've got private health insurers that like the plan. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to James in San Pedro, California. James, what's going on tonight?
I'm doing.
How are you?
I'm down here in LA Harbor doing the country's work, loading containers.
There you go. Well, you're not loading containers now.
We're on break right now.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm kidding. So you got your blue? Yeah, go ahead.
What I wanted to talk about was division, and you just got into it in that last little segment right there. You know, I'm an American. First and foremost, I'm an American. You know, we got boys overseas right now that are losing their lives fighting for our country. They're in the foxhole next to each other. Some are on the right and some are on the left. Some are from the south, some are from the east, some are from the west, all with different ideologies. But when those guys are coming over the wall after them, do you think they're looking at them going, are you for abortion? Are you for health care? No, they're like, you're my buddy, and we're going to stand here shoulder to shoulder, and we're going to fight the enemy. And the problem we have with America is it's too easy to divide us. And that's what's wrong with this health care. You start asking about the health care, and it's too easy to divide people on issues that really don't matter. However,
right,
if you go back to the poll and you ask people, do we need health care reform? It's like 90% from the right and the left all think we need health care reform. And anybody
yes.
that pays any type of their health insurance themselves knows we need health insurance reform. And the reason our health costs are so high is because of these people that aren't insured. And that's the message they're not getting out. And it gets me so
well, upset. You know, you're right. And you started out with the essential point, which is this country wouldn't know what to do if it didn't have its little factional divides. And in order to maintain those factional divides, the chicken crap rule is in effect, meaning just throw any kind of stupid argument that has nothing to do with anything into the mix so that we can get confused and we never will get anything done. And that's why I think that anybody, you know, more and more I believe, James, that people who identify strongly with a political ideology you want to know what? Whether they're right or whether they're left. I would say those are people that are not patriotic. I had a guy on the show last night who said, I just believe that the government getting involved is bad. I just believe it. I just believe it. I just believe it. Even if this? No, I just believe it. Even if that? No, I just believe it. So in other words, the inflexible view that this man had, even though I brought up example after example of where government had to step in or felt it was necessary, where the American people felt it was necessary, no, he's just going to stick with his little philosophy, even if the country goes down the rat hole. You see?
That's my point exactly. You know, South
right.
Dakota just had the 100-year flood. And in South Dakota, They saved three towns. These people filled sandbags for like 12 straight days, and they saved their three little towns. When those people were filling those sandbags, do you think any of these issues that divide us came up? Not once. Those people.
Well, if I'd been there, I would have brought it up just as we were loading the sand. I would have said, by the way, are any of you people here just to see whether we could get the sand? They had a 100-year flood. I didn't even know it was the biggest flood in 100 years, huh?
Well, it was the 100-year flood, and I'm just using that as
all right.
an example.
But no, I know what you're saying. You're saying we got to pull together, baby. We got to get ready for the future. I'm with you, James. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. We got to get ready. We got to get this country ready for the next century, man. We got a century ahead of us. Yeah.
We had 9 million jobs go overseas because of health care. The reason you have some Indian guy or some English guy answering your phone when you go to check on your credit card or even your health insurance, it's because if you have a small business and you have more than 30 employees, you have to provide them health care. Well, if it's a $9 phone answering service and it costs you $6 an hour to give them health insurance, you're going to send the job to India. Well, you know what? I'd like those 9 million jobs back right now, please. So if we could fix the health care, there's no reason we can't bring those jobs back here. And why isn't anybody talking about that fact?
Because when you talk about that fact, people... I'll explain it, and I thank you for your call. I agree with you, man, and I think I can answer that question here. And thanks so much, James. And the answer to the question is the following: what we have here is and it's been happening since 2000. It's been happening since 9/11. I'm telling you, people may not want to hear this. They may not want to believe it's so. And people mocked the whole idea that the world was changing, but America has been caught in this divide between the past and the future since September the 11th of 2001. There's a future that we have to deal with. There's a future that we've got to deal with. It doesn't mean we give up our democratic principles. My God, do you honestly believe there's anybody in this country that would even remotely consider that idea for health care? No. The problem is the health care plan that's being proposed has got nothing to do with giving up democratic principles at all. As a matter of fact, it's more democratic than the system that's in place right now. Why don't people want to recognize that? Because, again, the divide between the past and the future. What is the past representative of? Capitalism? The free market? Individuality? Now, I'm not saying that those things have no place in the future, but people are stuck with those concepts and can't find a way to meld them with our futuristic or future needs. Capitalism, free market, individuality, America going it alone because America has always been the leader, and yes, America will always be the leader if we make the right decisions. America doesn't have to adopt the Canadian plan. We don't have to go down the European route. We don't have to do what they're doing in Cuba, and we don't have to do what they're doing in God knows wherever the hell else. Americans have always taken ideas and adapted them and melded them and molded them into a way that is palatable and acceptable for the way we do things, the way we live our lives here. However, there is a future that we've got to deal with. The future, the 21st century, is that communism is dead. The concept of state-controlled and state-run economies is dead. And don't tell me that Obama giving us a national health care option is a retreat to the past, because, folks, anybody that's going to make that argument with me, they don't want to be cut up into ribbons, okay? Let's not go down that road, because that's the Hitler road. In other words, that's the road of the person that's completely out of they're out of ammunition. They don't know how to debate this, so they go into that socialism road. The fact is that there is no government takeover of the healthcare plan. There's a government option. And even in countries where the government does run healthcare, they are vibrant democratic countries. By God, would you try to tell me that Germany or France or Canada are countries where the people are stymied and stifled and have no voice and can't change governments when they need to, leaders when they need to, the way they live their lives when they need to? I've got Canadian friends all over that country, man. They're living their lives the same way we're living our lives here. Maybe they are dealing with certain issues when it comes to their paycheck, how much money is being taken out in terms of taxes, etc. But Canada does things Canada's way. America will do things America's way. But we got to get into the race, folks. And the reason why that gentleman asked the question, why won't people see this? Why do people retreat to these values that they feel if they hang on to them hard enough and strong enough, somehow the country's going to find its way? There's nothing wrong with the idea of free enterprise, capitalism, and individuality. We need to take all of those marvelous values that we cherish, and we need to put them into the modern and the future world. We have to find a way, and this is America. If we can't do it, nobody can. Find a way to take all of the things that we cherish and make them work for us so that we can compete in this world. There's no longer state-run economies. It's a capitalist world. It's a capitalist world. It's a world of free enterprise. It is truer today than it ever was. That wonderful monologue in Network when Ned Beatty says that the world is not necessarily countries so much as it is interconnected corporations, you know. And we know this from the banking crisis. If we don't, if we continue to limp along, reliant upon an industry controlling a vital life support need, such as health care, like water, like electricity, like gas, like those things that we recognize as necessary for life, if we continue to rely upon a private option only, then we will continue to pay more and more, we'll have less and less, and we're going to lag further and further behind the rest of the world in this race to the future that America has always led. And if you think we're going to lead the race to the future by dumping anywhere from 15 to 20% of our GDP into health care costs, while we're also at the same time struggling with recessionary forces, unemployment, employment, trying to make this economy hum along like the well-oiled machine it should be, we're dreaming. It isn't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. There's never going to be enough money. So how do we take all of those cherished American values of free enterprise and capitalism and individual liberty, and how do we join them with the future course that we chart for our country? We can do it. And this is a good start, this plan. A private industry that you and I can access if we so choose. We can keep our insurance. A health insurance exchange for people that cannot afford the higher-priced health insurance. And a national plan to cover everybody else. This is not a hard thing to grasp. It's not socialism. It's not single-payer. It's not the government taking over the entire healthcare industry, and it damn sure ain't unconstitutional. Can you believe how you're being insulted? Your intelligence insulted each and every day by these nitwits, politically driven, ideologically driven, who have no concern whatsoever as to what this country's going to look like in 50 years, who would rather misinform and disinform you than give us a fighting chance in a world of emerging economies, some of which 10 years ago we never would have imagined in a million years. India, Brazil, Russia. Russia, holy geez, this is a country that's got more natural resources, and pretty soon they'll probably have as many people, and they've already got a president there who has said by 2020 we're going to be the world's number one manufacturer of aircraft, the number one manufacturer of aircraft in the world, Russia. That's our goal. That's where we're going, baby. This is the national agenda. This is the momentum. That's where we're headed. And America could go, they can go suck, you know, suck our exhaust for all we care. So there's a lot of countries out there that are making big plans for the future. They're already on track to succeed, or at least to achieve some of these goals within a short time. And we're still fooling around talking about something that has been proven. The single-payer model proven in industrialized countries all over the world. But here in America, we don't trust it because it's socialism. We don't even know what socialism is. Maybe we should begin by defining it. We've done it before. We could do it again. I don't know that it's going to do any good. It's a great little catchphrase that freaks out people like Grandma Pilger there with her Heil Hitler. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. 877-876-PHIL. Seattle voters reject a 20-cent grocery bag fee aimed at curbing waste. You want to know where we're wasting our time, if you want my honest opinion? We're wasting. I think healthcare is a great idea. I think we're wasting our time with some of these environmental cures that we don't, frankly, have the money for right now. And we got bum rushed into this by, you know, Mein Fuhrer Gore. And if you want to get Phil on the side of something that probably people who are, you know, against Obama might be on the side of, it's this entire panic over global warming and just exactly what we need to do for the environment as opposed to some other more pressing issues. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I mentioned that when I played the Maxine Waters clips, I said this is a worthy goal to get a national health care plan in place that would include private as well as a public option. Maxine Waters ain't exactly the person that I'd be trotting out selling it, okay? Now, maybe somebody stuck a microphone in her kisser and she decided to, you know, air her lungs out, as politicians will. That's fine. However, when you have a Maxine Waters saying, she said two things. She said one thing was very smart and one thing that was very dumb. She said that the informational and educational curve on this thing, we got to get up to speed. And she's right. I don't know why they didn't think of it. I will tell you right now that this is the purview of the White House staff. If the president has something to sell, then you send out Rahm Emanuel and the rest of these pinheads, and you send them over there to Congress, and you say, here's how it's going to go, and this is what we're going to do, and here's the plan. So I don't know what – I'm telling you right now, folks, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. I've never seen a president so utterly misunderstood by not only the opposition, but his own people. His own supporters. This guy is six blocks down the road, and everybody's still trying to figure out on the map where the Statue of Liberty is. You get this guy, Emanuel, whatever he does for a living, I can't figure it out. And you say, would you put together some game plan here on how we get this information to the American people? I want everybody on the White House staff. Let's go. Boom, boom. Let's go, man. I'll get the cabinet members, and let's get some people out there that know what they're talking about. Don't put Maxine Waters out there. She pisses off too many people. She's not going to sell anything, man. Anything she says, people are going to run the opposite direction. Now, she said this month, and the stupid thing she said was that the private insurers were the ones that were holding everything up. They're the ones that were lobbying against it, that the private insurers were the guys that were the pain in the ass. And, of course, I've interviewed Maxine Waters. She is a arrogant, dictatorial personality. She will not brook any disagreement. If you disagree with her, she begins to filibuster all over you, man. You can't get a word in edgewise. She is an inflexible, closed-minded woman. Can't ask her a question that's the least bit challenging. She just goes running off at the mouth. She's right that the American people need to be educated properly because they're not getting the right information. They are woefully undereducated, and I blame the White House staff and these numbskulls in Congress. Here's the thing that she said that's wrong. She said that private insurance is against it. Blue Shield and Blue Cross, all you got to do is go over to their website. They support both public and private coverage that helps the uninsured population. Aetna said they support a reform package to lower costs associated with health care. Also, a consortium of pharmaceutical companies are in talks with the administration to support the health care plan, including Pfizer, Bayer, GlaxoSmithKline, and others. This is all in the news. We can read up on this, and we can get this information, and we can get it over to Maxine Waters so she's not starting to piss off people in the health insurance industry. We say, what the hell is she talking about? Well, I don't know. Well, why don't you get her on board, man? We've just been talking with you guys that we support the plan. And we got pharmaceutical companies that are on board. We got Waters. She's crapping all over us. What's the point there? Well, you know, Maxine, she just runs. Well, she runs off what, man? Let me tell you something. Either you guys start telling the truth and you get Maxine Waters and whoever else on board with this, or maybe we'll pull our support. We don't need to be made to look like horses' asses on this deal because she can't think of anybody else to blame. Let me tell you who you ought to blame. You ought to blame these jackasses that are charged with getting the president's message out there, both to the Congress and the American people, at least giving the man a game plan as to how to approach these things. And I go back to his chief of staff and everybody else. That's what they do. So while the congresswoman was right, the American people have not been educated properly as to what this plan is about, and they are fighting against a ideologic opposition that damn sure doesn't want anybody to know what the truth is, and they're fighting against these airheads like Michelle Bachmann, who thinks the whole thing's unconstitutional. There are some steps you can take, you understand? And one of them is you can stick a muzzle on Maxine Waters and tell her to quit bashing the private insurers who have come on board in support. All right, we'll be back. We got Whole Foods, man, and the fascists that they are.
Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.